You're listening to the Central City Assembly podcast. We're dedicated to creating and sharing content that magnifies and multiplies Jesus for the glory of God and the good of our city and helps you grow in your love for him. Be sure to subscribe and share this podcast with someone who you think will be encouraged by it. Enjoy this episode, and may you be filled with the love of God the Father.
Hey, Steve Lummer with Trailhead Tacos. We're right here in Joshua Tree National Park, served a bunch of folks tacos, and everybody had a smile. And Trailhead Tacos is all about, people ask, what are you doing? How much are your tacos? I just say, hey, generosity is still cool. Have a free taco. And so we go around the country and serve tacos, free tacos at trailheads for hungry hikers, bikers, climbers, trail runners, kayakers, people that love outside. I've often been told that food tastes better when you don't have to carry it, and food tastes better outside. So as for me and my house, we will serve tacos, salsa 24/7. Hope to see you out on the trail someday. Trailheadtacos.com, and come and join us. Everybody loves a taco.
All right, yeah. Central City, it's so good to be with you this morning. My name is Steve, and my lovely wife Brenda is in Prescott. She's a school teacher, and she retires at the end of May. Come on. 30 years of teaching little people. Amen. Amen. So this little picture of my family, you can see us up there. We don't have Ted on this picture, our golden retriever, a rescue golden, and he's one and he's a ruckus, but we love him anyway. So we've been in ministry 44 years. Can you remember how far ago that was? Like little back there. Brenda's been a school teacher for 3 decades. And we've been in youth pastors in 3 states. We've planted 2 churches, and now I get to do this. 2003, because of partners like you, we served over 2,500 tacos on trailheads to hungry hikers, bikers, and kayakers, and trail runners. Sharing God's love one taco at a time. We've partnered with 20 churches. We gave outdoor gear to native pastors, served 80 tacos Christmas Sunday. Yeah, and we prayed for Mike on Christmas, who he told me it was his last mountain bike ride because he had stage 4 prostate cancer. We got to pray for Mike on the trails. Super fun, super cool. We're the directors of Outdoor Nations Network, a ministry that does 3 important things. This is a little commercial. You okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, you don't want someone speaking to you unless you kind of know what they're about. Right? So we don't want everyone speaking into our life, right? So I want to give you a little bit of background who we are. Outdoor Nations Network is involved in 3 things, to support, to send, and to see. We support pastors and ministry leaders through adventure wilderness ministry trips and glamping setups. And how many know pastors need to get away? First time I met your pastor was in Joshua Tree National Park out in the desert at his Desert Fathers event. It was wonderful to meet your pastor there. We want to send missionaries out into wild places to share Jesus with people out on the trails. Right now, we're financially supporting 3 missionaries that are on the Pacific Crest Trail today, the Arizona Trail today, and the Appalachian Trail today. We want to see churches develop adventure outdoor ministries in and through their church. So you have children's ministry door, music ministry door, youth ministry door, adventure pastor door.
Yeah.
hey, MVP of yesterday, the MVPs of yesterday, out, was it Clearwater, Springwater?
Sweetwater.
Sweetwater. Yes. We'll get it sometime. There's some kind of water in there. Even though there was no water. I love Arizona. I'm like, I asked your pastor if you crossed over this wash. I'm like, what river is that? And he told me the river. I'm like, no, there's no river there. So the MVPs yesterday, Joe, thanks for the ministry of that thing right there. That was beautiful. Come on, give it up for Joe. And then the youth leader department, the youth leadership that took your young people on a hike. My word. Now, let me give you a clue, youth leaders. You kind of missed the season. Because if you're going to start hiking, you better get those kids up at 4 a.m. to hike. Otherwise, bring them up to Prescott, where I'm from, and I'll take you around the 856 miles we have around our city of trails. I want to say MVP today of you guys. All of you are the MVPs this morning. I know Jesus is, right? But I think in a day and age in which we live, it's important to understand the Sunday morning. The Sunday morning is important, just like yesterday was important, and community and connection's important, but the Sunday morning is important for our church because, you know, it gives us an opportunity to acknowledge there's a center of the universe, and that is not us. It gives us an opportunity collectively to understand that there is a throne in heaven and we're not on it. Come on, let's give praise to Jesus who's on the throne. Yeah, come on. He's. So you're the MVPs this morning for showing up to acknowledging there is a center of the universe and we're not it. You good for a sermon today? You good for? Okay. The more I'm in this, the more I've done this. I was a youth pastor for a decade and a half. And I found that the greatest tool for discipleship was hiking more and preaching less to them. Canoeing with them, climbing with them, all the kind of fun stuff that young people have. And then I developed into a lead pastor, and we planted a church in St. Louis. And some of the greatest times that we had with our church there were like fishing and some of the smaller things. I know we can't all go fishing today. We'll get in the Westfella van out there and go fishing. That's not possible. But I got to tell you that some of the best things you can do as a church is your community. Because what's scarce today in our country is community and connection. I mean, right now, I mean, you have your cell phone, and as I'm going through this sermon, if I'm watching you on your cell phone, you're not Facebooking, you're fact-checking. Is what he said is true. So content really isn't scarce. How many know what I'm talking about? But community and connection is the thing that we're looking for, and that's why we're here at this church, and they're peppered throughout the entire valley here in the Tucson area are people that are wanting and hungering for connection and community. Just turn to someone and say, man, I'm so glad you're here. Are you losing weight? Come on, let's do it. Hey, now for the message, okay? Now for the message. We're just going to go through this. A couple of photos here. I want to give these to you if we can, just to let you know a little bit about what we're doing. If we can just scan through these while I'm standing here. I'm just standing here, okay? There's our rig. We take this rig out on the wild places and serve trailhead tacos to people that are surprised. And let's keep going. All right. Here's some of the people that we reached this year. Out on in Colorado, Northern California, the Grand Canyon, New Mexico. Let's keep going through there. Just scan through there so we can, yeah, okay. There's Mike, Christmas Sunday, prayed for him. This is Red Wall Canyon in the Colorado River. Go back to that picture. Isn't that cool? My word, who gets to do that? Smoky Mountains, Grand Canyon, let's keep going, all right? I believe that if you build a good campfire, everyone becomes a storyteller. Yeah. Okay, keep going. Awesome. There's my beautiful wife serving tacos. Let's keep going. This is in Grand Junction, Colorado. We serve 200 tacos in an hour at the Lunch Loops Trailhead. Let's keep going. Waterproof Bibles. We give out waterproof Bibles to hikers and bikers that are spiritually curious. They can put it in their backpack, and then we believe. How many know that the Holy Spirit does the work? That's his job description. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit does the work on someone's spirit and their mind. And so we give out waterproof Bibles. Last weekend in Silver City, New Mexico, again, we served hundreds of tacos in about an hour, and we gave away all but one of our waterproof Bibles. If you want to buy us a case of waterproof Bibles, talk to your pastor, and we want to keep getting the word out on the trail. Okay, let's keep going. This is Joe on the Navajo Nation. We took a group of ministry leaders from Illinois to Canyon de Chelly in a blizzard. sideways sleet down in the canyon, couldn't see the bottom of the canyon. After we got done, Joe, our guide, our Navajo guide, said, good to have you guys with us. And I said, hey, Joe, is there anything, I'm a pastor, is there anything I pray with you about? He was having some marriage issues, family issues. Is it okay we pray for you? He said, absolutely. So we prayed for him. Here's a mountain biker in Grand Junction, blew out his knee on a mountain bike ride just prior to prayer, asked us to pray for him. And yesterday on the trail, your youth group prayed for a young lady that was ministered to. Come on, man. I'm telling you, man. Prayer is powerful, but prayer on a trail is priceless. Let's go. Keep going there. Desert Fathers is an effort for us to get pastors and ministry leaders outside of the walls of the church for the three-day rule, where they have silence, solitude, and Sabbath, where they can hear from God. This year, someone purchased 6 tents for us for pastors so they don't have to bring anything. Got cots, everything will be comfortable, kind of glamping. So that's Desert Fathers. We do that once a year. Let's see what else we got here. Campfire Collective is another ministry opportunity. We partnered with the Northern California Ministry Network and took 12 pastors on the Mendocino Coast and got them outside so God could speak to their inside. Okay, let's keep going. This is the church, this is the missionary, and that's the lost. That's what I do. All right, let's keep going. Yeah, Trailhead Tacos. That's the sermon today. You ready for a little message, a simple message called Trails, Tales, and Tacos? Luke 14 says, Jesus said to me, he said, go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house might be full. I read it again, and I forgot about the highways, and I focus on the hedges, the ridges, the rivers, the mountains, the lakes, the trails. Go on the highways and hedges and ledges and compel them to come in. Trails. You've got some cool trails here in Tucson. I used to race mountain bikes in Oracle. There's a 24-hour mountain bike race called the 24 Hours in Old Pueblo that we would race 24 hours like a bunch of nut jobs. And so we did that for 3 years. Beautiful trails here in the Tucson area. I said that to say this, that if you listen carefully, how many know we need to be more in tune with our earth? Yeah. Now, before you say he's a new age nut job, I believe the new agers have hijacked creation. Yeah. And so if we'll listen carefully to the trail, it might say to us, hey, pay attention. Look, there's something worth going to. Trails that you walk on, ride on, run on are there because someone said, hey, there's something better. Let's get there. Trails teach us that there's something better than the status quo, which Ronald Reagan used to say, look at the mess we're in. Trails are pathways to new discoveries and new horizons, new vistas that you've never seen before. Trails connect us with each other. I think there might be some testimony slides here. Let's go real quick here, the next one. I don't know if it's, maybe it isn't, maybe we already passed it. Yeah, we did. Let's stick with the scripture. James, my friend James, came to us when he heard we were going to hike the Supai Trail down into the Grand Canyon. How many have ever been to have a supai? Anybody? Mm-hmm. Okay, where's the Chi Alpha bunch? Okay. It's 12 miles down to the river, and James heard that we were going to hike to Supai, and he said, that's on my bucket list. He happened to be in a church service that day where we were baptizing one of his friends. James was not a believer. He had just come out of the Burning Man culture, and that's James at Burning Man. How many know what Burning Man is? Yeah, you don't want to know. Don't go. It's America's orgy. It really is. It's crazy. It's ridiculous. So James came out of the Burning Man culture, and he saw us. We were going to hike the Grand Canyon through Supai, and this is James being baptized in Oak Creek in Sedona when he accepted Christ in his life, and that's a waterproof Bible in his hand right there. I'll tell you real quickly about meeting Toby on the trail. Toby York, his family owned York Jeep Chrysler up in Prescott, and this is Toby on a mountain bike ride with me. He had asked, hey, Steve, can we go on a mountain bike ride? I met him at his business, the Hike Shack, downtown on Whiskey Row in Prescott. I said, absolutely, man. So we went out on a bike ride together, and he began to tell me a story, and his story was pretty deep, and he began to weep while we were on the trail, and he said, would it be okay if I come to one of your men's cafe events where we have coffee with guys, where we talk, we laugh, and we pray? And I said, absolutely, Toby. And then he found out we were going to raft the Grand Canyon, and then we rafted the Grand Canyon 4 days from Diamond down, and the next slide shows Toby getting baptized in water at Serpentine Falls. Just after this baptism, you know, Toby was recovering from cancer, and just after this baptism, just a little while later, we lost Toby at 41 to cancer. His son Wilson, 5 years old, his wife Cam are left behind. But I've got to tell you what, we floated the Colorado River together, and I'm looking forward to floating the river of life in heaven with Toby again. There's a little story about meeting the Russians, and how many know there's a lot of international students, you know, invading our country right now, and we meet internationals out on the trail all the time, and we set up this event, and these people came up to us. They couldn't speak English, but one of them could, and she began to interpret, you know, like, why do you guys do this? And the line is, you know, we're serving God's love one taco at a time. And then I'll say generosity. I believe generosity in a world of hate and division is still cool. Why do you do that? I said, because God was so generous to me. Yeah. And he gave his son. And I'm going for it because I'm not going to see them again, right? I'm not going to see him again. I'm like, I'm going for it. He gave his son that whoever would ever believe should not perish but have everlasting life. And Jesus gave me new life because of his generosity. And then I'm like, would you like to receive this generosity? And the two dudes are like, no. No. I just love that part. No. I wish I was Russian just for that. No. And then, you know, so they take off, you know, and I'm like, well, we planted seed. I mean, Pastor, you know what I'm talking about? We planted seed, you know. We're not pulling weeds, we're planting seeds. And so, you know, we just, I'm like, oh, God bless them. And then just a few minutes later, she comes back, who is the interpreter, telling them about the generosity of God. And she says, while I'm telling them and interpreting your story to them, I received Jesus into my heart. Dude. All because of generosity. Yeah. I want to encourage you today to think about, go out in the hedges, the ledges, the mountains, the rivers, the trails, where today millions of Americans are experiencing in their mind what is church. A lot of my friends that I would ride mountain bikes with, they'd say, Steve, why in the world would I sit in church and think about my mountain bike when I can sit on my mountain bike and think about God? You got any people like that in your life? And I'm like, well, why don't you do both? Try both. And so the first Sunday we opened up our church in Prescott, 90 of my mountain bike friends showed up. I'm like, whoa, this might be something. God, you might be on. How many know God might be on to something? Yeah. And I'm going to ask you this morning, I'm going to challenge you, Central City, to think about blazing a new trail to reach people for Jesus. Yeah. Ask God for some creative real estate, if you will, some creative capacity to go beyond just what we've normally seen for the past decade or two. To blaze a new trail for something new to take place within you and within your collective tribe here called this church. Amen. To push us to build something new in our life, because blazing trails is in your DNA, whether you know it or not. That's right. Every new business was started because of a trailblazer. Every new church plant was started because of a trailblazer. Every disease that was ever cured was cured because of a... You're getting there. Okay, let's do one more, okay? Every invention that was ever discovered was discovered because of a... Give yourself a good amen. That was good right there. You're preaching good. I love the stories of David Livingstone, who was a trailblazer. Dr. David Livingstone blazed a trail through the center of Africa to help stop the slave trade. And along the way, he said in his journal, he says, God, send me anywhere. Only go with me. Lay any burden on me. Only sustain me to blaze this new trail. Trailblazers Lewis and Clark. I'm a fan. I name my dogs after them. Showed us courage undaunted. From St. Louis to the Pacific Ocean to meet new people groups, new geographical lands that we've never seen before. Trailblazer Daniel Boone and the Wilderness Trail through the Cumberland Gap. Someone told me when I was growing up in junior high, they said, Steve, you can choose what path or trail you want to take, whether it's a career path, a spiritual path, an artistic path, a path to wellness and health, a destructive path. How many know the Bible talks about a destructive path? We choose those paths, those trails that we want to go on. We sometimes speak of clearing a new path. And if you've ever been in ministry before, which I know many of you are, you know how clearing a new path to new creative real estate in ministry is how it's tough, because you gotta make your way. You gotta get rid of the trees, the stumps, the weeds. You gotta blaze a new trail. An ancient sage once told me, Steve, the path is making in the walking of it. And so we create these new paths, and I want to encourage you today to blaze some new trails spiritually, to blaze some new trails ministerially in your life, to blaze some new trails as a church, and see what God can do with, you know, God is an amazing God of ideas, and I found out that one good God idea is better than a million of my stupid ones. Yeah. Really cool trail in the Bible. I'm trying to get to a group of people to go with me to hike the 38 miles of the Jesus Trail in Israel. But there's some problems over there right now, so we can't. But there's really cool trails in the Bible where Jesus hiked. Luke 24 says, on the road, what I call a footpath or a trail to Emmaus, they ask each other, the disciples were like, were not our hearts burning within us? I think that's cool right there, because when you're outside and God begins to speak to your inside, you begin to, like, all the noise of the culture kind of goes away because you're on a trail. I love hiking at night because all the light pollution is gone, at least up in the mountains. So they said, we're not our hearts burning within us. While he talked with us on the trail, on the road to Emmaus, and listen to this, it says, then, while they were walking and hiking, he opened their minds so they could understand the scripture. Yeah. On trail. Yeah. So what kind of new trail are you going to blaze today? Maybe, let me suggest a few. Maybe blaze a new trail of creative ways of sharing the best news that's ever been given to the earth, and that's the gospel. Yeah. Yeah. You know, to take the best news that's ever been given to the entire globe and all of humanity and press it down right here to this little square foot place called a church, that's too much pressure. It's got to be creative ways of expressions of the gospel. When your pastor gets up to speak, what he's doing is he's just sharing with you this beautiful news. And he's hoping, and so is the Holy Spirit, that you'll get it and you'll take these things that he's given you, the gospel, and express them to the people you live with. Yeah. Yeah. Are you okay with that? Yeah. Yeah. Do you still love me? Yeah. It doesn't matter if you love me, but what matters is if you love them enough to get creative and serious about what does God want me to do to share this gospel. Blaze a new trail. Maybe you want to blaze new trails of right thinking, good habits, positive words that you speak to yourself. Maybe blazing a new trail of actions for those around you in your own home and your own circle of influence. Maybe blazing a new trail of living by faith instead of fear. Maybe blazing a new trail of living a life of worship instead of worry. I tell you this, it's impossible. It is impossible for me to worship while I'm worrying. It's impossible to worry while I'm worshiping. So if I could blaze a new trail of worshiping God instead of worrying, that's a pretty cool trail to walk. How about blazing a new trail of grabbing the sword of the Spirit, the sword, the Word of God, and whacking away at the weeds of worry in your life so you could blaze a new trail of worship? Jesus was a trailblazer. He blazed a trail to connect heaven to earth. Aren't you glad for that? He blazed a trail to connect you to God. Aren't you glad for that? He blazed a trail to set you free from the thickets of sin. He literally did that. Aren't you glad for that? He blazed a trail, and this one I love, I really love this one. He blazed a trail so that you and I could have a choice. Psalm 119, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a word unto my path. You know, historians say that Jesus could have and probably walked, while he was on the earth, 23,000 miles. You know, like from village to village, to job, up the Via Della Rosa to the cross, 23,000 miles. That's the circumference of the earth, friend. Jesus walked a lot. I like to take a hike with Jesus. In Matthew chapter 11, out of Eugene Peterson's Message translation, he says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? He says, come to me and you'll recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. And I love this. He says, walk with me. Work with me and watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. He said, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. See, the church and the teaching discipleship ministry here of the church and preaching ministry of the church and the worship and all that happens with youth group, here it is, ready? We will show you the path, but you have to walk it. We're not going to walk it for you. We'll show you the path. Pick up your backpack. Get your boots on. Let's go. How many want to follow Jesus? How many walk with Jesus, work with Jesus, watch how he does it? Yeah. Trails, aren't? Let's give a good hand for trails. Come on. I just love them, man. Trails. It's a way of saying there's something better. Let's get somewhere else. Tales, tell your story. Your story matters. It matters to God, and it's needed by others. As large or minuscule as you think your story is, God has entrusted it to you to be a good steward of your story. See, the lyrics of your life are important for you to sing. Storytelling is important, but story living is more important. Your story is important, but don't just move right into storytelling. Move right into story living. Because if you're telling other people's stories, you're living other people's lives. So you got to have a life. A good friend of mine said to a bunch of pastors at a retreat, a minister's retreat, he got up and he sat on a chair just like that. There's 500 ministers out there. And he said the first opener, he said, hey, guys, when it comes to life, why don't you get one? Turn to someone and say, get a life. Your story is important. This is Mark Batterson. Your story is important. 2 Corinthians says, listen to this. Your lives, this is scripture. This isn't Steve, this is scripture, so we can say amen. Your lives are a living letter that everyone can read by just looking at you. Christ himself wrote it, not with ink, but with God's living spirit, not chiseled into stone, but carved into human lives. And we, your church, we the people around you, we publish it. That's why tattoos is a $1.1 billion industry last year. People want to tell their story. That's why thousands of years and all around where I live are walls of petroglyphs, because tribes want to tell their story. See, it's innate within us because we want to tell our story. And your story is tattooed on the pages of your life, according to the scripture, and it needs to be read. The brokenness, the broken pieces need to be read. because it adds layers and rhythms to your life. Yeah. Make it an, you know what, I've often told people, you know, if you're going to tell your story, please don't be a cloud without rain. Have something in there. Have something in there. Yeah. Psalm 78 says, we will not hide our story of our redemption from our children, but we will tell it to the next generation of the glorious deeds of the Lord and his power and the wonders that he has done. And your story isn't about you. Your story is about what God has done in you. Yeah. I found in working with wonderful people, there are two kinds of people in this room right now. There are people who talk too much. You know who you are. We know who you are. People who talk too much and people who don't talk enough. And so if you're someone that talks too much, we'll have patience. But if you're someone that doesn't talk enough, we're wondering, what's your story? What has God done in your life? Well, I'm just not comfortable talking in front of people. Well, then make your circle smaller and begin to practice your story, because your story is important and God has entrusted it to you to be a good steward over. So don't be like the lady in Oklahoma. A pastor took me to a cemetery after dinner. I'm like, what are we doing? And the pastor said, you got to see this. And we got to the cemetery. We walked through all the stones and he said, you got to see this. And I looked down and the stone on the epitaph said, I told you I was sick. Don't be like that. Don't wait until they put an epitaph about your story. Because the scripture said in Ephesians 2, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared beforehand for us to do and to talk about. See, exceptional storytellers in this church bring the weather. We're cultural shapers. We're blacksmiths that make a difference in people's lives. We're storytellers. Whoever tells the best story shapes the culture. Yeah. Blaze a new trail. Tell your story. Find your taco. Tacos? What? Tacos in the Bible? I'll find them. See, for me, tacos are a verb. Hikers often tell me that nothing tastes better than food you don't have to carry. And food tastes better outside. So as for me and my house, we will serve tacos, salsa 24/7. Oh, but by the way, Psalm 34 says, oh, taste and see. Oh, come on. Is that talking about just spiritual stuff? No. Heavenly stuff? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know what Jewish mamas used to do with their babies when they were just, you know, coddling them? They would take a piece of the Torah, dip it in honey, and give it to the baby. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I think God tastes good. Yeah, I think God gave us all these senses. Taste, touch, smell, eyesight. God gave us those things to experience his amazing power. Yeah. And so, so tacos are a verb. It's a way in which, it's a very simple way in which I can just talk to people about God's amazingness. And I found in pastoring for 44 years, you know, my church had huge gaps. And before you get judgmental on you, so does yours. Yeah. We got gaps. In the American church, we have gaps all over the place. So we've got to find a way to close the gap between the church and the culture. We've got to find a way to close the gap between heaven and earth, for sure, because there is so much, oh my word, war and anger and hatred here on the earth. And heaven's like, what? We got to close that gap so there's more heaven on earth. There's like, we got to have this thin space, this liminal space between us and heaven. And would you please, as a church, pray that his will in heaven would come to earth? Yeah. We need that. And we got to close the gap between us and them. We got to. That's our calling. And so, you know, we've got leadership gaps, community gaps, connection gaps, vision gaps, structure gaps in the church. But the largest gap that I see we have in the Church of America is the gap between us and the pre-churched and the de-churched. Let's soak in just for a second. I know in this room, a room like this, we have relatives and friends that used to. But something happened. They become de-churched. We got to close that gap. And the pre-church, like James, like Toby, like the Russians, we've got to close the gap so that they can become not church like Kirche, which is the German word for a room, a building, but ecclesia, which is a living body of Christ. Yeah. We don't just want them to come to the Kirche. Someone turn to someone's Kirche. It's a building. Now, buildings are important because we want to acknowledge there's a center of the universe and we're not it. Buildings are important because we want to acknowledge there's a throne in heaven. We're not on it. But it's not that. It's we've got to close the gap. Ezekiel said, I sought for a man among them who would stand in the gap. And how can they go to the gap unless they're sent? That's my calling and mission right now as a missionary, to go stand in the gap. See, tacos, guys, are just bridges. Yeah. And it's that simple. At one of the universities that we had a ministry at, we had a Tuesday night gathering, and we did everything we could to involve the students. And for me, it's always been like de-churched, pre-churched, and then the church should be taking care of itself, you know, with a little help and tender care. But I was always looking at the de-church and pre-church. This one particular girl, she was coming to our event, and man, she was like this. How many have friends like that? They're like, and she proudly told us she was allergic to religion. And I'm like, I am too. But we were praying for her, and then one particular night after months, I saw that she came in, and you how many know you can tell a person's countenance is changed? And her countenance had changed, and she leaned into the worship, and she just had her hands like this, like of surrender. And I'm like, whoa, what happened to her? And then during the sermon, the message, she had her Bible, she was leaning into the message. So afterwards, I went over to her, and I asked, is it okay if I ask you, something noticeably happened to you, what happened? And she said, she pointed in the back of the room and she said, that's my friend. And 3 months ago, she asked me to start mountain biking with her. And for 3 months, all we did is mountain bike. And then conversation started. And then she said this. She said, she built a bridge from her life to mine and Jesus walked across. Tacos are just bridges. It's just a way in which we can communicate with people. We can use mountain bikes, we can use pickleball, we can use hikes, coffee, adventure trips, climbing, gyms, nature, creation, photography, birding, you name it. For me, I use Trailhead Tacos. They're just a tool. And when I share this message or we're out on the trail, in fact, yesterday 4 or 5 people come up and say, oh, that's a great idea. And I'm like, yes, it is. No, I don't. But every time we take the rig out there, it starts, oh, that's, where'd you get this idea? And I said, well, to myself, where did I get this idea? And we were hiking the Grand Canyon rim to rim. My daughter on my 60th birthday said, let's do the rim. I said, yeah, I get to the south rim and I looked up and there was a taco truck. And the Holy Spirit dropped an idea into my spirit and said, go serve free tacos on trailheads. Wow. How many know I couldn't come up with that idea? Yeah. One God idea is better than 1,000,000,000 our ideas. And God dropped an idea into my spirit. And so I just in closing today, I want to give you something because this is a room full of ideas. That's right. Hello? You got ideas like marinating within you. And I want to just give you this today for the closer. And that's this. I want to maybe give you a couple things so you can add critical mass to your idea. So that you won't be like me, who I've had a million ideas, and most of these ideas fail to find place in a ministry, in an organization, in just my life pattern. Failing to take root. They move from exciting possibilities and things written on a page, and eventually they end up like a blip on the radar that goes away. They disappear. Perhaps you wrote an idea down and it was so awesome, but it just never got traction. Is there anybody in this room that would admit that you had a great idea or great ideas and just, it's gone? And see, wave. Why don't our God ideas become reality? I mean, God, and he birthed it, and he entrusted you with an amazing idea. But so often they get postponed, crowded out, because of the layers of life. And if you want scripture, yeah, the cares of this life, the weeds, the birds, the rocky soil. Just take away those ideas. And so I think it's important this morning to acknowledge, as believers and followers of Christ, that he wants to entrust us with some amazing creative ideas to reach people for Christ. Yeah. And some have stopped short, like, hey, come to church. How many know God's bigger than and more creative than just come to church? Yeah. And it's amazing. Good. Ask your friends to come to church, because this couple, they've got some great ideas brewing and the Holy Spirit will use them. But God is calling you to have some great ideas to share the gospel in creative ways that have never been done before. So how do you get some critical mass to your ideas? And for me, I'm from the Midwest and we have grass out there. And my ideas were like one blade of grass in this whole lawn. And I see it, but then it gets blurred out because I just walk past it. And that's what happens to our God-given ideas. It's there like a little blade of grass, and then because there's so many ideas, it gets lost or mowed down. So are you good with this for a second? How to get some critical mass to your God-shaped ideas. Number one, add a new relationship to your God-given idea. Because if you ever told your friends in your circle, your old circle, what you wanted to do and a great idea, and they're like, yeah, right. It'll never fly because that's you. They know you too well. Come on, man, laugh. You know, courtesy laugh. They know you too well. They do. They know you too well. They're like, that'll never happen. But if you take your idea to a new relationship and the new relationship says, oh, my word, that's amazing. Let's do it. Add a relationship, critical mass, to your reality of an idea. Adjust your daily routine instead of 602, 402. Get some kind of routine that's different and add your idea to that new routine of your time. And see what God does in your creative real estate inside with that idea. Here's another one. Connect your idea to a bigger dream. Want to write a book? Idea. You want to invent something? Connect your idea to that invention. Connect it that your big dream is at stake based on that one idea. It's critical. And to add critical mass to your ideas, you got to make it critical. You got to study and become a student of your idea. I'm telling you what, that's gold right there. Let's give Jesus a hand clap of praise. You know, my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. And when I need a new set of tires on my truck, I don't see like four tires come floating down from heaven. God gives me an idea that I can pay for those tires. See, ideas are gold. Your washing machine breaks down. You have no money. You need an idea. Yeah. Are you tracking with me this morning? Yeah. So these ideas that God gives you, God's given you a mind, and you've got to be a good steward over your ideas. Become a student of your idea. Now, two things, and we're going to wrap up, and that's this. Two little hints. How many of you have ever had like a fellowship or a dinner at your house? Okay. And for me, on Super Bowl Sunday, I'm like, babe, hey, would it be okay if I have a few friends over? She's like, how many? I said, just a few, just, you know, really close, tight circle. And then the door does not stop knocking. And I get the side eye. How many of you men have ever had a side eye from your wife? The side eye. She's like, is this it? I'm like, yeah, I think this is it. And it just keeps on coming, keeps on coming. You've got, here we go. Let's go back in the world of ideas for dinner. You've got to be hospitable to your idea around the table. If you add too many ideas around the table, the meal is going to be unmanageable and it'll get lost. So don't have too many ideas. Stick to a few around the table of your creativity. Just a few. I don't know about you, but I can handle about one at a time. And so I have a one-on-one with my idea. Be hospitable to your ideas. Secondly, the biggest death and danger to a great idea is we overthink them too much and we don't click the mouse and make it happen. We don't take action. We think about it. Yeah. Only action realizes potential. So, do you have an idea? You can steal mine. Go ahead and get a grill and start serving tacos in the winter down here. But get an idea and become a student of it. See, the Father, no one comes to the Father, no one comes to me, Jesus says, unless the Father draws them. Go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Onions, salsa. You can't convince someone about Jesus because of a taco, but you can compel them. Have you ever tried to convince someone? Tough. Jesus didn't say go out in the highways and hedges and convince them. He said go out in the highways and hedges and compel them. Yeah. So what's your taco, friend? Find your taco. And if you can't find one, support me with mine. You see, the gospel is like water. It's free. Yeah. The cost is in the delivery. Yeah. It costs money for the pipes, the plants, and the purification process. This afternoon when you go home and turn on that spigot, you're like, yeah, the water that's coming out is free. The cost is in the delivery. That's what missions is all about. You know, it just takes the delivery process of it. And I want to say thank you for helping us to deliver the gospel out on the trails and the wild places. There's a QR code if you'd like to find out any information about our ministry. That'll take you to Outdoor Nations Network, and then it'll feed you to Trailhead Tacos. But really appreciate you guys having us. I think yesterday we had fun. I think that's why this whole series, The Chosen, is so popular, because it shows Jesus having fun. You know, like having water fights, playing chicken in the water. I would have loved to be around that Jesus. Yeah. Father, we thank you today as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's table. Help us to blaze a new trail. Help us to tell our story. God, help us to find our taco for their sake, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. If you were blessed by this episode and would like to help us create and share more content that magnifies and multiplies Jesus, would you consider giving a financial gift of any amount today? Whatever you give will go towards building the kingdom of God in the lives of people all over the world. Thank you for your support, and we pray many blessings over you.